Legend says there's been a curse on these woods.
Hello and welcome to episode 131 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here is my lone co-host today. It is Krishti Pachko.
Dun-da-da-da! Angie Han's not here for sinister reasons. That tiff.
Yeah, sinister tiff reasons. She's seen all the good movies early. How dare she? Actually, the movie we're talking about today did screen at TIFF, though, so technically we are talking about a TIFF movie,
ooh,
too.
Ooh, fancy.
That, it did. That movie is Blair Witch, formerly known as The Woods. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk for 15 minutes about Blair Witch, give you our full review on that. Then we're going to switch gears for a hot topic, and in honor of the release of Blair Witch, we're going to talk about our favorite found footage movies. All right, so let's jump into our Blair Witch review right now. I am going to lead that one, and here is the IMDb synopsis. After discovering a video showing what he believes to be his sister's experiences in the demonic woods of the Blair Witch, James and a group of his friends head to the forest in search of his lost sibling. Yep, IMDb, A+ for you. That is what the movie's about. So James's sister is Heather, one of the main characters from the original 1999 Blair Witch, and I think that was a pretty damn smart way to connect the two movies that felt very natural to me. But this one, if you haven't seen Blair Witch 2 Book of Shadows and you're concerned about missing out, don't worry, because this new Blair Witch movie does not address it at all. This is kind of its own thing, and what I keep calling this new Blair Witch isn't necessarily Blair Witch 2. I keep calling it Blair Witch 1.5 because It's not the same movie that we saw in 99 in some senses, but it feels the same way.
Because they rip most of it off?
Oh, stop it. I knew this is where this was going. I was preparing myself. They don't rip most of it off. This to me feels like a group of people who don't know what happened to the people that went into the woods before them, going into the woods and exploring the same situation, but with the upgraded technology that comes with the movie
and also
taking
upgraded
place
witch
nearly
powers
20 years later.
That feel really remake-y.
Well,
like, okay, aww. So here's the thing. I take a lot of issue from this early on because I like the idea of her having a sibling that wants to find her, but instead of it being like a sibling who's been looking for her, he's like, oh, I was 4 when Heather disappeared, which is just an awkward way to be like, we wanted attractive 20-something, so he had to be 4. And it was just like, how does he even remember her at 4? But fine, whatever. So then he's like, I'm going to go into the woods and find my sister. And then the girl who's like sort of crushing on him slash the new Heather because she's like a wannabe documentarian is like, but what about the rumors of the Blair Witch? And he just shrugs. Like, they never have a serious conversation about the whole thing that supposedly is the reason his sister disappeared to begin with. And they mentioned that they found some footage of Heather's, right? So does the Blair Witch movie exist in the world of Blair Witch?
What?
Okay.
No.
No.
Well,
is the only footage he has the thing he found on the internet?
Yeah, that's the only footage James has.
So in the world of Blair Witch, the Blair Witch Project doesn't exist.
That's actually a good question that I never really thought of. I would imagine it would. What's the opening title card for the Blair Witch Project?
Something about this footage was found, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so
so in theory, yes, I mean, right? Because he also mentions the house,
given,
which again, you do see in the...
That is a very fair point that I've never thought about,
and like,
but I'm pretty sure the opening title card of the Blair Witch is that footage was found.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's how Blair Witch Project begins. So presumably Jason has seen, or James or whatever, has seen at least part of it. Maybe the Blair Witch Project doesn't exist as like a released movie like it does in the world. I don't know. But I felt like, one, that was something that should have been made clear. But two, especially like what his opinion on the Blair Witch is, but they never get into that. Like, it's just something the film refuses to deal with. And then, like, it made me really annoyed with the characters because, like, if the whole thing is supposed to be your sister is doing a documentary on the superstitions of the Blair Witch and you don't even look at that before you go into the woods,
okay,
like, that seemed incredibly fucking stupid.
I can read it. In October of 1994, 3 student filmmakers disappeared in the woods near Burkittsville, Maryland, while shooting a documentary. A year later, footage was found. Presumably, the Blair Witch Project does exist within the world of the Blair Witch, and Okay, I can't argue that point whatsoever.
I feel like
but...
it would have been more interesting if they had run with that more. Like, because they try to set up a new Heather and that this girl, Lisa, really wants to make a documentary about this whole thing, but also wants to bang James, which was like a subplot I needed nothing of. That was just distracting. Yeah. But like, instead, they didn't make her as ambitious as Heather or as driven as Heather. So at one point when the characters, and this isn't a spoiler, because obviously the characters try to get out of the woods at some point, but they're like, oh, stuff's a little weird. We should probably get out of the woods. Everybody's like, yeah, we should get out of the woods. No one wants to stay anymore. And in the original Blair Witch Project, Heather still kind of wanted to stay and still wanted to kind of shoot stuff. And it was a moment of contention where at one point Leonard is yelling at her and being like, why are you still filming? And she breaks down and says, it's all that I have right now. And like, that was interesting because it not only justified the found footage element in that film, but also created a tension within the group. And there's no tension within this group. There's like two weirdos that you know are going to be weirdos that they yell at a lot, but that's like not tension. They're freaking lame little weirdos that are like half the size of everybody else.
Well, I don't think there could have been tension between the main four because
they're
there
not characters
contention between them and the other two. Well, no, they are.
What? Okay, tell me.
I thought they are.
Who are they?
I can name every single one of them.
They
Does
have
that
names. That's not what I mean.
They have
literally
names.
Outside of Peter being like, I'm James's friend. What are his characteristics?
He's a dick. And I totally bought his relationship with his girlfriend.
But like they aren't anybody to me. Like I had no emotional reason to give a shit about these people because James feels like this very straw man figure that we're supposed to care because he's caring about Heather. But then his like connection to Heather seems so theoretical. It's like he doesn't remember her. He's just like, oh, my sister's missing and I want to know what happened to her. It just all
feels... If I'm lining up the four main characters and I'm going to pick the ones that I connected to most, it was probably Peter and Ashley. Because to me, their relationship felt more genuine, especially as she was starting to fall ill.
Sure, I buy that
seeing
they cared
him
for
take
each other,
care of...
But I don't know who the
and
fuck
I,
they
I,
are.
Okay. All right, well, I also, well, but that's a thing with, I mean, really any movie. It's like, in a situation like Blair Witch, where they're running for their lives in the woods, and I don't really need a moment where they stop and say, oh, I'm, like, aspiring to be this in life, or we did this and this and
but
this.
But there's
like,
a bunch of moments like where they stop so he can talk about his sister, who he was for when she went missing. Like...
Because it was part of the documentary. It was part of the whole way the movie was structured.
But I'm saying that I feel like it's so sloppy because it didn't take the time to give us characters to care about. Like, and another problem I have that like I wrote about...
Oh, I cared about them because of the organic relationships that built up between the four of them as the movie went on. Because even James and Peter, I thought they had a really convincing friendship. So, you know, when certain things happened to certain characters in the movie... I felt it on multiple levels.
Oh, I thought the acting was too bad to feel invested in those characters, and I thought that there wasn't enough character to her. But then the other problem I have is that in the original Blair Witch, they cast three people who are unknown actors and who looked like normal people. Like, they were average-looking people. These kids all look like they could be on the CW next week. Like, they're all good-looking enough that they could be, like, wandering in from, like, an Urban Outfitters catalog. And so, like, you don't have that instant authenticity.
I think Josh Leonard is a very handsome
I'm not saying they're unattractive. I'm saying they look like real people.
I know.
Whereas,
I'm just
this cast looks like pretty people. So it's just like, oh, how nice that James's friends are all nice-looking. And the two weirdos from Burkittsville are also nice-looking. And, like, it just feels like a glossed-over Hollywood remake. And adding into that is the fact that they tried to raise the stakes by making it like more spook show with like the stupid tent shit and like, you know, oh, you get glimpses.
Oh my God. I loved that. That was my favorite sequence in the entire film. And I don't even want to talk about it now, but at the same time, it's not a spoiler because they already spoiled it in the trailer. That part in the middle where they find the stick. I'm trying to think about ways right now to describe it without completely.
But everybody knows they find the sticks.
They find the sticks, and it's just like a quick succession of things that I didn't expect to happen that happened all of a sudden. And I think that was just so well orchestrated and so well shot and so different from the first movie. See, that's what I like about this, is that they needed... The only way they could have made another Blair Witch movie is if they had the Blair Witch and the Blair Witch didn't do the same thing to her victims as she did the first time around. And I think what they did was spot on.
I, in theory, agree with you.
I almost just dribbled into the biggest spoiler and I just caught myself.
I in theory agree with you, except that like the fact that they stayed true, I feel like they stayed true to all the wrong elements of Blair Witch, which is like, they're like, oh, we'll make it found footage. Oh, we'll have like a female documentarian character who's sort of ambitious and has like ulterior motives, which even Heather didn't have ulterior motives. She was trying to prove that Blair Witch didn't exist. And then it was like, oh shit, she does. And she just kept filming. So that's different. But like, and it just, it didn't feel tense to me. I didn't feel invested in these characters. I, by the time they get to the finale, which is such a beat for beat ripoff of the original.
No way.
Come on. Oh my God.
The third act of this movie is done so exceptionally well, especially because somehow the geography makes sense without making any sense whatsoever. And I thought visually it was absolutely stunning.
Oh,
and again,
I was so
it
bored.
Takes the mythology of the Blair Witch and her abilities like a baby step forward without going too crazy, being like,
let's see. I totally disagree. I think it got goofy.
Oh my God.
That like all the way they, I'm not going to get into specifics, but like the way they talk about her body and stuff, I was just like, oh, come on. It just, it felt like the laziest horror tropes. Like, I don't get Adam Wingard as I don't find his stuff scary. I find it like, it does nothing
okay.
for me. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't say this about Adam Wingard as a filmmaker, but I will say this about Blair Witch and found footage is anyone who asks me, like, should I see Blair Witch? What I've been saying is, if you do not like the first Blair Witch, and if you do not like found footage, this movie is 110% not for you. I do feel like most people who are very attached to the original, though, will be very satisfied with this movie.
Oh, wow.
As a huge
Blair, so here's something funny.
As a huge Blair Witch fan who watches it over and over and over again, I really respect the fact that Simon and Adam were able to recreate that same type of sensation, because still to this day, it doesn't matter how many times I've seen Blair Witch, if I watch it by myself in a dark room, I get that same tense feeling where I notice that
but
I'm clenching my fist before.
Did you enjoy the fact that instead of actual, like, well-earned scares, it was just a bunch of loud noises at random moments? Like, literally, it's like someone turns and it's like, brah, and they're like, oh my God, and they run screaming. Like, it happens over and
it
over again.
It wasn't, though. I mean, I know the specific noise I think you're trying to imitate, and that came with something else that upped.
It just felt, it sounded like EDM to me. Just again and again, it was just like what do you call it? Not dub smash. Dubstep. It was all just
Matt's gonna get mad at us if we can't say this.
It was like that sound
this.
Effect from Inception, the Brahm, and they're like, oh my God, Inception's starting, and they run away.
Did you just say Brahms?
Yeah, because it does that, you like, Brahm sound.
Oh no, now I'm talking about the boy and having flashback to Brahms.
But like, I didn't find this scary, and it was so frustrating to me. And it was funny because I came home from Blair Witch annoyed at how much I didn't think Blair Witch was scary. And Blair Witch Project was playing on Sci-Fi, and they were promoting it to promote the new movie. But then they kept being like, "What if Blair Witch was shot? The Blair Witch Project was shot today." And they would show footage from Blair Witch with like Instagram and Snapchat filters. And what was funny was I was like, "Oh, I can't tell if they're trying to say don't go see this new movie because it's nonsense like this shit or not." Like, I couldn't tell. But it's like, it felt to me like if you thought, like, if like whether or not you liked Blair Witch, if you watch Blair Witch and go, oh, I wish there were blowjob jokes and a higher body count and like nonsense other horror tropes that had nothing to do with the original in here, then yeah, I guess that's good. But like for me, it's not that I wanted the Blair Witch Project again, but like at a Comic-Con, I heard such good things that I was expecting something new and exciting. And what I think Wingard and Barrett did was they just piled in a bunch of other modern tropes into what was established in 1995. And it's not good. Or 99. It was 99. The original Blair Witch scared the shit out of me. I remember vividly the feeling of that finale. And in this one, I was so bored. I was literally yawning.
I strongly disagree. I was one of the lucky few who got to see the movie when it was all that hype at Comic-Con. So, you know, I came out absolutely loving it, and I definitely try to make a point to never let my surroundings or my situation impact how I feel about a movie. But at the same time, you know, it's always in the back of your head. I'm like, oh, maybe I just liked it because I saw them all switch their t-shirts from the woods to Blair Witch, and that was really cool, and I have good memories now. So I saw it again last week, and on a second viewing, I think it holds up especially well.
I saw you tweet
that. I enjoyed it just as much as the first time. I was scared just at the same exact times. I thought they did an exceptional job, and I just want to point out, too, I pointed this out on one of the Collider shows recently because I keep hearing people say that found footage is a cop-out. And that's obviously, like, a long-running thing that everyone always says all the time.
Yeah, it's a derided genre.
It is. Oh, my God. It is not a cop-out at all. I I just feel like the general consensus I keep getting is that some genuinely think that found footage is just about doing something super low budge where you carry a handheld camera in your hand, you just run around like a lunatic and you shoot whatever. That is not what found footage is at all. And especially with a movie like Blair Witch, where you have each of your four main characters wearing those little earpiece cameras. You got the drone camera, you got the other DV camera. That is a whole batch of other cameras that need to be shot and framed perfectly so they all cut well together and have to be edited a very specific
Except
way.
Except that
so
it also felt it like not cheating easy. The found footage genre by creating those pieces, some of those pieces. Yeah,
but no, they're not, because this is 2016.
Yeah.
Who would ever go out into the woods to, let's shoot a documentary without having some sort of upgraded technology?
It's not the upgraded technology I take issue with. It's the fact that they purposely chose upgraded technology that would make it look less like a found footage movie. It found like they were trying to cheat.
I still thought it. Well, I also will say, and this is another point I've brought up to someone recently, is that in real life, it is absolutely impossible to make a found footage movie. Because I've told you that I've done that Walking Dead escape a number of years, and I always try to go in with a handheld camera to shoot like a found footage style movie, and it's impossible to keep the camera stable. So if a feature film was to authentically look like what a found footage movie would look like, we would all be vomiting.
I think they did a perfect about the found footage genre. I like the found footage genre. I do think a lot of people do it poorly. Where we're disagreeing is I think this movie does it poorly.
Oh, I don't at all. I think they did a really great job upgrading the camera while still respecting the kind of camera that they used in the first film, which is part of the reason why I like where it goes in the third act, because I think they do something that is a nice nod to the original, very organically, where I didn't even pick up on it until I did a little double take, and I'm like, oh, nice touch, guys.
The end made me really angry.
Yeah.
The end made me really angry. I'm just going to leave it at that. There's no reason to get into spoilers. It made me angry. I think we should wrap. Perry and I are down the middle on this.
I highly recommend Blair Witch if you like the original movie and if you like horror and if you like found footage.
See, I say if you like the original movie and you like found footage, you should absolutely avoid this because it's nonsense. I don't know. I hated this. I honestly, in my review for CBR.com, I said it's one of the worst movies
you
of the year.
You are just stomping all over my horror loving heart. What do you...
I know. I don't know. I don't know, Perry. I don't know. It makes me nervous. Perry and I are sisters in loving horror movies, and we can't agree on anything.
You know
this
what? It's a good thing Angie wasn't on this show, because she wouldn't have had a second to speak.
No, she's probably super glad she got to sit this one out. But let's talk about horror. There are found footage movies we both like. So Perry, why don't you start it off?
Okay, I'm gonna go with, funny enough, another movie that Simon Barrett and Adam Winger were part of. It is VHS 2. And still to this day, I think this is one of the best found footage movies I have ever seen. The VH1 anthology series is, in case you don't know, it's a string of shorts. I think they're about 15 minutes each, and there's normally five or six of them. They're strung together with a wraparound segment and, you know, comes out into a full feature. Wraparound segments in VHS, and actually in every found footage movie I've ever seen, found footage anthology movie that I've ever seen, are never the highlight, and it's not in VHS 2 either, but this movie has four segments that are all so drastically different and so incredibly well done. And this, to me, is a good movie that shows the lengths you can go to with found footage. Because every single filmmaker involved explores it and uses it in a completely different manner. But part of the reason VHS 2 is one of my favorite found footage movies of all time is the third segment, Safe Haven. Christy, have you ever seen
it? I have. I'm trying to remember. Is that the one that...
The Cult.
The what? Yeah, okay. That's the one I was thinking of. The Cult. That's the one I like the best. Who did that? That was somebody I like.
My God. I'm never going to be able to say their names right. I probably have just like been casually pronouncing it wrong all my life or since the movie came out. That one's Timo. Oh, my God. I don't want to say his name. I'm just going to put it to you in the chat and make you say it out loud.
T-J-A-H-J-A-N-T-O. Yeah, that's not easy.
And I think Gareth Evans, they did that one together. But it is one heck of a tense short.
Yeah, that one I like
a lot. It's another one where, you know, a lot of people consider the whole documentary approach a cop-out. They're making a documentary about this cult. But where it goes and how they shoot it and what they do is just so above and beyond anything you've ever seen before. I don't want to spoil it, and it's very easy to start talking about a 15-minute short and spoil it, but I highly recommend watching all of VHS 2. I think Adam Wingard's segment is very well done. I really love A Ride in the Park, which is a short done with a GoPro attached to a biker's helmet. I think that's really well done. And then the fourth segment in the movie is it's from Jason Eisner, and it's called, I think it's called Alien Slumber Party, Alien Abduction.
Something.
With the words, I don't know. Slumber Party Alien Abduction, that's what it is. And in that one, obviously I love this part. He has a camera strapped to a dog, and it's like a dog cam at a point, but obviously that one's an alien abduction movie. They're all incredibly different. I can't recommend these enough, but if you only watch one of them, you need to watch Safe Haven.
I'm going to keep mine a little bit short because we're running low on time, but mine is Troll Hunter, which is a foreign film. It's from Scandinavia by Andre Orvdal, and it's about a group of college students who are trying to figure out what's the deal with the bear situation in their area, and like bears keep turning up dead, and they end up following this weird dude who they think is a poacher into the woods, and you know, it's not a spoiler to say it's fucking trolls, guys, like gigantic horrifying trolls. And it's a really smart movie. It's really funny. It's adventurous. It reminded me a lot of Jurassic Park in the way it creates an environment and an atmosphere and makes things really fun. And I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix often. I don't remember if it is now, but Troll Hunter. Ooh. It's amazing. In theory, it's getting an American adaptation, but I'm kind of hoping against it because it's so good on its own. Just go see Troll Hunter.
If Troll Hunter is on Netflix, that's definitely what I'm going to be doing later. I love that
movie.
It
goes on.
It is on Netflix. It is on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Stay home for Blair Witch and watch Troll Hunter.
They have all different types of trolls, too, and they have all these abilities. They just do such a good job building the troll world.
It's really outstanding.
I love that movie so much. I would have watched a sequel to Troll Hunter rather than an American remake.
Yeah, I would do. I would too. Anyway. I would watch a sequel. I don't want to watch someone screw with this world because what Andre created is so specific and fun.
It's
I just
so,
want to see more
so
of that.
It's so well done.
But, yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, so that is a wrap on episode 131 of Popcorn and Prosecco, which is basically our found footage episode, I guess. You guys know where to find us. We are on iTunes, where you can rate and subscribe and comment, which we would greatly appreciate. Please like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Popcorn Prosecco. I am almost forgetting our website, popcornprosecco.com. And then both of us are all over the internet as well. Christy, do you want to plug yourself and Angie, maybe?
Oh, man. Okay, let me start with Angie. Angie is AJ Han on Twitter, at AJ Han on Twitter, right?
I'm pretty sure she says A-J-H-A-N. Does she spell it?
Yeah, she does. I think A-J-H-A-N at on Twitter. And then she's at Slash Film, and she wrote some really great stuff on Doctor Strange this week you should check out.
She also has tons of TIFF coverage. Go read Angie's TIFF coverage.
Yeah.
She has a whole bunch of great reviews up, too.
Absolutely. Her TIFF coverage, she was all over. She was killing it. And then I'm on Twitter at Christy Puchko. It's K-R-I-S-T-Y-P-U-C-H-K-O. You can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com. And I have a new plug. I've been doing the radio show It's Eric Nagel on Friday nights from 6 to 9. So check us out on SiriusXM. I've been a recurring guest host, and it's been a lot of fun. We talk about movies, but we talk about all kinds of stuff, so learn way more about me than you ever really need to.
And you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at PNemiroff. I write for Collider.com, and I'm on the Collider Videos YouTube channel. So thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Do you believe in the stories about the Blair Witch?